Good evening. For me, it's good afternoon. welcome to the fourth session in our program on Menuchos HaNefesh and mentoring in the Menucha principles. Today's session is going to focus on the concept of transformation and change. And we will present, or Be'ez Hashem present, the first of what I call the six gates of personal empowerment, which is the three principles which I'll be discussing later. I want to describe to you something that has happened a couple of days ago, which I found quite fascinating. Very happy to hear it. A young couple came to see me. They're married only maybe 8-9 months, and they were fighting with each other very intensely. And both are very fine people. And they were fighting over many, many things, money, visiting each other's parents, whose turn is to visit, fighting over what to eat, where to go. And I saw them a few times, and whatever I tried to tell them to do just made the fighting more intense. And I kind of understood some of the reasons. They both maybe need to grow up a little bit, separate themselves from their parents a little bit. But I told myself that instead of working with them the way normal, I would normally work with a couple, I asked them to listen to the first two programs of the Muncie training program that I gave last year in Muncie, which is similar to the one we're giving here. I told them just the first two. And it dealt with the introduction to Menuchos HaNefesh and Peter HaNefesh and the story of Ari and the deeper self. And the young man called me back, and he said that ever since they started listening, there's been shalom between them. And I asked him why, and he wasn't really sure. But he wanted to know if they can have the third session. It wasn't that much of a surprise to me. I had some ideas that would be helpful. I didn't realize how helpful it would be. And later I'm going to discuss the difference I believe that it made for them. And I see this quite a bit, though, since that even just listening to these programs, not even people who are trained to be mentors, but even people who I'm seeing, just listening to the concept of Pisa HaNefesh and Menuchos HaNefesh and story of Ari and the deeper self has really a transforming effect on their lives. Last week we discussed the five dimensions of thoughts and feelings, of physiology, of behavior, and the deeper self connecting with the deeper self. And I was saying that these five dimensions of ourselves, how we think and how we feel and how we behave and how our bodies are acting and how meaningful our lives are, and how connected we are, represent the media, represent the ways in which we experience life. So somebody came in on Sunday to see me, a young man, 34 years old, he's unmarried. He works as an accountant and looks like he's a wonderful person, but he told me he's experiencing sadness and depression most of his life. He wants to shit up. But he's a very sad person. I mean, you wouldn't know it by speaking to him, but he feels that way. And in fact, he's been taking medication for quite some time. So here we have somebody who his experience of life is this feeling of being down. He feels his body chemistry and his emotions and his thought processes are all negative. Not enough to paralyze him. He does work and he does learn. He's called Kaveitim. But enough to keep him from getting married and from being a good husband and father because he feels the sadness all the time. So the dimension of his thoughts and his feelings and his physiology because of his body chemistry keep him feeling low. Give you another example of a young lady who came to see me. She is a housewife, a very fine person. And she is going to school, finishing up a degree, very smart. But she has a problem in that every time she has to take a test, she pushes herself to her limits, and she starts feeling nauseous, and she'll vomit. Her husband will look at her, and she's a very pretty girl, and she's very chic, and she's very capable. But she'll drive herself to the point of frenzy, of anxiety around the test, and she'll start actually vomiting. You can imagine how concerned her husband is when he sees this. Or another person who called me, who I saw, and who has continuously suffered from severe emotional outbursts. Almost like when you tell a child to eat something he or she doesn't want to eat, she starts to cry. You know, obviously it's inappropriate, but the child is not. It's a child. And here is an adult. This woman is a professional. And she has these very intense emotional outbursts. Sometimes she tries not to show them to people because it's embarrassing, but she feels it inside. She feels she wants to cry. She feels hopeless. And it's not so much depression, but just a very, very intense, emotionally intense person. She can't regulate her moods. That we call a problem of mood regulation. Young Kala came to see me last night. She's about to get married. Getting married in 3 weeks, and she decides she doesn't like her husband. She thinks her husband is not a nice person, not for any reason. And she's very sad. She's very jittery. She's very nervous. So we see, and I'm just giving you situations that come every day. You know, I kind of precious chayre, as I say, because every day we deal with these issues. I'm not giving you things that happened last month, last year, and just come out every day. Because this is the lives of people. These are the challenges that people face in their lives. And the experience that they have comes through these five dimensions. And when it happens, whether it's depression or the anxiety or the mood regulation or the vomiting before a test, all these things, they're very overwhelming. And they imprison us in a sense of I'll never get out of this. And the more we try to get out of it, the more intense they get. So you figure why does a person continuously go back to these feelings? I mean, I don't know if I did, but the young man who came to see me about that he develops headaches on a tonus. And I tell him to stop drinking coffee, he tells me he develops a headache even before he has his first cup of coffee. Usually has a cup of coffee at 8, and he develops a headache at 6 or 7 in the morning. So it's not real, it's not a headache that comes from the tonus, from the caffeine, it's a headache that comes from the anticipation, from worrying about the headache, about getting the headache, and that in itself creates a headache, but it happens to come out every tonus. So I was describing, there's some interesting, not that I really want to make this a course in research in neurology, because I'm not a neurologist and I don't know the research that well, but I did see some material that was interesting, which in many ways dovetails with what Chazal says. I want to share it with you. The research in brain, brain chemistry and neurological activity is very fascinating, because it says, because the research is that when a person has a negative experience, a girl called me today. She recently had a engagement that was broken very suddenly by the chassan. I didn't know them. I kind of knew the girl by name. I didn't never spoke to her. And she's going out today, and she called me. She said, she really hasn't dated since the broken engagement. But she says she keeps on remembering the sense of the terrible letdown that she experienced when she realized that her engagement was being broken. She returns to the memory. It's coming back to her, the fear again. It's very fascinating and very important to know that the brain research in brain activity, neurological activity, says that the brain remembers negative experiences much more intensely than it remembers positive experiences. Which means that if I have a memory of emotional pain or happiness, my brain activity is going to the emotional pain more quickly, to being upset more quickly, to being depressed more quickly, to being anxious more. The negative, what we call pizer and nefesh activity memories, are remembered much more frequently and quickly than the positive memories. So for this young girl, it's remembering being hurt when the engagement was broken. Or for someone else, it's remembering what it's like to go into a tannis and feel a headache at the beginning of the tannis. Members' feelings of rejection or other kinds of things that we call pizer or nefesh. Negative, troubling, emotional or cognitive experiences. We gravitate towards that. And that's the way the mind works. I saw a very interesting parallel to this, in Parshas Bereishis, in the Maisa of Cain. So the Baruch Shalom tells Cain, he says, Imlo Seitiv Lapesach Chatas Rovitz. If you don't act better, if you don't act like a mensch, if you don't act with chesed, then the Pesach Chatas Rovitz. The Chatas is gonna run after you. I saw Rabbi Ruchem Lubavitch says that when a person does a chet, the chet chases him like a kelev throughout his life. It's like wherever you go, there's a kelev chasing you. No, that's what Rabbi Ruchem writes. I think it's a medrash. It chases you to the grave. Now, I didn't want to say that a person has a bad experience, chas v'sholom, he's doing a chet. No, but I want to say that the principle is similar. It's a negative behavior in many ways is like a negative experience. It doesn't go away. It follows you all the time. It just, you know, it, the kelev is following you. The brain chemistry pushes you there. You know, say there's a, when a person takes drugs, right? The person smokes cigarettes. It's very interesting that the drug, it interacts with the brain in that it causes the brain to want more drugs. When a person smokes a cigarette, it causes him to want more nicotine. These are physiological reactions in the brain and in our neurological structure. They pull us back to that experience. The negative experience pulls us back to that. A person who is depressed is always pulling back to the feeling of being pulled back to the feeling of depression. Right? Anxious, always being pulled back to the feeling of anxiety. We're always going back to the negative experiences. That's the way Hashem created us. That's what we're seeing now in the actual teva of a person. Now, and this really is the background for the concept of transformations. Because transformations is what I call transformations, or shinui, or change, is that which the Rebbe Shalom wants us to undertake, wants us to create, so we can be ourselves. In other words, every situation that we're in, we're only there because the Rebbe Shalom put us there, and which we'll go into in greater depth later. But that doesn't mean that we're trapped there. Just because our brain chemistry is pulling us back there, it doesn't mean that we are meshubed to the brain chemistry. Or just because we have bad experiences, it doesn't mean that we are meshubed to the bad experiences. There's a very important mashal that I came across a number of times. I came across it first through Rabbi Avigdor Milozatzal, and then I came across it in Chovos HaLevavos and another sefer called Cheshbon HaNefesh that describes the essence of transformations, or the power transformation. And the mashal is like this. The mashal is that there is a bird and a snake. And everyone knows that the bird, the main diet of this snake is the bird. But no one really knows how the snake comes to the bird, because the bird is up in the tree and the snake's on the ground. And this bird and snake live in this jungle rainforest, maybe in South America somewhere. And once someone is determined, a zoologist, a scientist, determined to find out how the snake captures the bird to eat the bird. So this zoologist, he follows this snake around in the forest, in the rainforest jungle, day after day, until one day he sees the snake stop dead in its tracks. And it looks up into the tree, and all of a sudden it starts going wild, changing colors and sticking out its fangs and jumping and hissing and making all kinds of sounds and doing whatever it can to draw the attention from this tree. And sure enough, he looks in the tree and there's the bird. The bird is just singing by itself in the tree. Millions of other birds around the world are singing in the tree. And the snake is jumping and jumping and trying to get attention. And suddenly he sees that the bird spots the snake moving around, and that the bird starts to look at the snake. And as the bird starts to look at the snake, it slows down in its singing and it slows down in its movements. And after a little while, the bird is now silent and the bird is not moving. And then he can see the bird start to shake. Maybe it's shaking out of tremors, out of fears. And the bird starts to shudder. And then the bird, almost lifelessly, falls out of the tree into the waiting jaws of the snake. Now, if you knew this bird, or you, Shlomo Melech, could speak to this bird, we could say, bird, you have wings. The Baruch Hashem gave you wings. Flap your wings and fly. Get out of there. You're not dead. You're alive. But the reality is that the bird cannot flap its wings. The wings are useless for this bird. It's like someone had taken an iron band and wrapped it around the bird. Because the Baruch Hashem made the bird as part of Teva. And this bird's tafkid in life, one of the tafkid, is to feed the snake. And we are not going to interfere with the teva of that bird. We can't. As far as the bird is concerned, it no longer has wings as it's falling out of the tree. I, Rabbi Avigdor Milozatzal, and the Cheshbon HaNefesh, and the Chovos HaLevavos all say But we are not the bird. Am Yisrael is not part of Teva. We are Tzelem Elokim. And we're never in a situation where Ribbono Shel'Olam takes away our ability to have wings and to use our wings and to fly. We're never trapped, never, in any situation. Essentially, we never lose our bechila. So in all the situations I cited before, many people will say, I'm stuck this way for the rest of my life. I'm going to be depressed for the rest of my life. I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be tense for the rest of my life. I'm going to have headaches for the rest of my life. But it's not true. There are some physiological, or some person has a condition is one thing. But anything to do with a person's bechira, anything to do with a person's hakara, his understanding of life, and how that hakara has an impact on the way we function, think and feel and act. In that sense, we never lose our bechira. And that is really at the heart of transformation. The heart of transformation is that I know that anyone comes to me, no matter what they've been through in life, Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, gives them life at every moment and never takes away their bechira. They're never the bird. They're never left without their wings. We may sometimes need a little bit of help. This caller came who was so upset, she was anxious. I suggested she see a psychiatrist to get some Xanax to quiet her down, which she did. I'm waiting to speak to her. Sometimes we need intervention, sometimes through medication or talking to people, but the Metzia says that a person never stops being a Tzelem Elokim, and they never are the bird. In that sense, transformations, once we understand that we have this ability to elevate ourselves above nature, so to speak, it changes everything. We go from being an eved to a master. We go from being somebody who is compelled, someone who is being shubed to a baal bechira. I want to give you I don't know if I gave it in the first session, but I think this is a good, if I didn't, I should have, and if I did, I want to give it again, because it's such an important thing to remember. And particularly since I met somebody yesterday to whom I told the story, and he told me a remarkable thing. So the story I want to tell you has to do with the altar of Nevardach. And once again, you'll forgive me if I said it in the first session. I don't know if I gave it, but I want to give it again now. So in Kiev, at the beginning of the 19th century, the Nevardach Yeshiva was in the middle of a battle zone. And it was surrounded by Bolsheviks who were fighting with the Tsar's legions. And the yeshiva was in the middle of this firing range where mortars were being exploded all around and bullets were being fired without stop. And it was Shabbos. And Shabbos had ended. And the mortar rounds were even more intense. And everyone knew that if any of the mortar shells were hit the yeshiva would collapse. And the Alta of Nevardach was in the middle of the yeshiva with a number of Talmidim. And all this was going on. And everyone was very frightened. So I'll use my... demonstrate, and he was holding Right? He says, in my Kiddushkov, he was holding a kos. Right? He was holding a kos saying Abdullah. Now, if you look at the, as you see, you can see that the tea in my glass is moving. So, in the Sefer Madrigas of Adam, the Mechaber writes that the altar of Nevarduk, when all of the explosions were going on all around the yeshiva, knowing that their lives could end at any moment, the altar was saying Havdalah. And his voice was clear and pure. But everyone was still very frightened. But they were able to see one thing. They were able to see that as the altar held up his kos of yayin, they were able to see that even though the water was at the top, the yayin was at the top, the yayin wasn't moving, which meant that his hand was still. That all the explosions and the fears about their lives ending at any moment were quieted down because they saw that as the altar's hand was not moving and the yayin and the kos was still, that was a siman of his betochen b'Hashem. The ability to keep all of his avarim, all of his internal feelings and emotions, thoughts, and his hands. You know, if I were to make a sound, I kind of clap my hands very loud. You jump, you startle. If I shoot a gun, you're startled. But here we are, many guns going on. Mortar shells are going off. Lives are at stake. And yet he's so quiet and peaceful. He's able to transform himself. I told this story to somebody yesterday in my office, and he said to me something which was a moment I'll never forget. He says, yes, he says, I know. He said, my Zaidi was in that basin medrash, or my Alta Zaidi was in that basin medrash with the Alta, and I knew the story because my Zaidi told it to me, and his father told it to him. Incredible. The essence of Menuchas Nefesh. How a person is able to keep himself quiet and so still with so many difficult potential tragedies. And yet the guf does not react the way he's not the bird. And we see that over and over in Chazal, we're never the bird. In the next 6 weeks, we're going to be learning, among other things, six gateways of what I call personal empowerment. And these are skills and tools that I'm going to, Be'ez Hashem, teach you how to transform yourselves, your thoughts, your feelings, your body, from Pizer and Nefesh to Menuchas and Nefesh. These are six skills that each of us uses differently, because each of us has different personalities. Some will gravitate towards the more cognitive, and some will gravitate towards the more physical. Some will gravitate towards walking, and some will gravitate towards meditations. But this is essentially is going to serve as the practical foundation of everything we're learning. And it's so crucial that each of you take everything I'm going to teach you, and with your chavrusa, practice it. By yourselves, practice it. And you'll find that the practicing isn't difficult. The practicing is very, very fascinating and interesting. It's almost transforming from one moment to the next. So the six gates of personal empowerment that we're going to be studying or learning, not studying them, we're going to be learning them and experiencing them, are the principles which we will learn, Bez Hashem, today. Centering, which is how we learn to use our hands to create a sense of inner calm. The pulse of life, which is how to handle more anxious situations, of using our pulse. The inner circle, which deals with people who have given us very special gifts in life and how they've taught us to be the best that we can be and how to access memories of these people. And finally, the breath of life, which is a number of breathing exercises, which many people have found very, very helpful in dealing with having a greater sense of focus, a greater sense of tranquility and calm, and walking exercises. There are focused walking exercises and meditative walking exercises, and all these, Bez Hashem, we're going to go over very, very carefully and thoroughly, hopefully. Let's start off with the first of the six gates of personal empowerment. We described last week the five dimensions, thoughts and feelings. So what happens when I have a thought? Let's say I gave the example of the tea, remember? Glass half full versus half empty. And I said that if I offer you a glass that's half empty, you may see it as half empty and think that I think poorly of you, that I'm a consun, that I really don't want to be friendly to you. Or if you find out that it's a special tea and I prepared it, so it should be half empty, so then you're going to change your perception. The glass is going to be half full. So we describe then that our thoughts, that there are many thoughts that travel through our mind simultaneously. There's a piece of research that I once saw many years ago. I don't know how thorough it was. But that piece of research said that at any given moment, for every decision, we have 70 different possibilities that go through our minds. 70, 7-0. Now, we can't possibly, even if it's 7, or even if it's 3, we can't possibly be focused on more than one at any given moment. But when we're focused on one, when we're focused on the glass being half empty, right, and we feel peace or nefesh, there's also a thought, the possibility the glass is half full and we're in manukas and nefesh, but we don't realize that. We don't see that. So what happens to that other thought? Where is the glass, the manukas and nefesh thought, the glass which is half full? Where does that go? Or if I'm at a party, right? And all of a sudden I start worrying about work. And I should be enjoying the party and should be enjoying the Hanukkah soon, the latkes, right? And suddenly I'm thinking about work. So where do the thoughts of a karas hatov for being invited to this party, of enjoying the latkes, enjoying the people, seeing the family? So where do those thoughts go? They're there. They didn't go away. What happened to them? Or you have people who are dating. One date, they'll like somebody. And they'll say, what a wonderful person. They'll come back the next date and they'll say, I don't want this person anymore. Nothing really happened in between. The perception changed. But what happened to the positive thoughts? Where did they go? Or were the positive thoughts there? Where did the negative thoughts go? Right? So the answer is, and the author of Kelm has a mimer on this that I saw, that it says that we have many thoughts in our minds simultaneously. Some of the thoughts are pizer and nefesh thoughts, and some are manukas and nefesh thoughts. When we're having the pizer and nefesh thoughts that I don't like this person, or this person doesn't like me, or I think that this person is I can't hear this rub, not so happy with what he says, or I came to a chasana, I'm not so happy with the food, right? And I'm letting it stare my chasana. So when I'm in negative thoughts, when I'm in a piece of a nefesh thoughts, trouble thoughts, worry thoughts, I'm trying to daven. I'm trying to daven the first bracha Shemoneh Esrei, and all of a sudden my mind goes off in 100 different ways, right? All I want is to daven the first 42 words and say Shemoneh Esrei v'kavana. It doesn't happen. I say two words and I'm off someplace I never dreamed I'd be going. What happened to the thoughts that talk about Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, Akel, Agodol, Agibov, Anoda? What happened to those thoughts? They're there. I know they're there because I've spent time. Where do they go? But the answer is they're always there. They're always there because they're part of our deeper selves. Now, they're part of our deeper self. Our deeper selves are not worriers. We don't worry. Remember, said the Alter Kelm, the baby is smiling inside of us. The Nuchas and Nefesh is Hashke, Vetach, Sholom, the Shalva. That's our Neshama. That's our Neshama Sheva Mofi. That's who we really are. So if I'm in shul and I'm worried about taxes, or I'm worried about something else, or I'm trying to be with someone I care about, my kids, and I'm worried about the office, how do I get back to where I'm supposed to be? If I'm on a date and I say I don't like this person, I don't know why, and I just want to get out of there and go on the next date, how do I get back to a more positive memory of this person, of my own menuchos and nefesh? How do I do that? And even if I see the person is not for me, doesn't mean I have to be stared. Doesn't have to be in a negative state of mind. How do I become quieter? How do I become more peaceful within myself? So I'll know what to say and what to do and how to put things in perspective. So I want to teach you a concept that I pieced together. It took me a while to understand it. But once I did, I found it very, very helpful. It's called principles, the three principles that help us deal with thoughts, deal with negative pizer and nefesh thoughts. Now, the three principles are chidush, you know, like the chadish, and the second principle is bechira, and the third principle is called mishkan. Chidush, Bechira, and Mishkan. So let me explain what they mean and how we use them. Chidush means, let's say I have a negative thought. Let's say I'm trying to be in shul and I'm trying to daven, and all of a sudden I have a thought about work, about taxes, a thought about something that I'm worried about, right? And I say to myself, I always have these terrible thoughts when I'm davening. Or let's say I'm with a child that I'm trying to give that child, trying to make that child feel positive. And all of a sudden, all I can see, I have negative thoughts about the child. And I want to get rid of those negative thoughts. I know they're not helpful. Kiddush means that I'm not trapped. Why am I not trapped? Because we say every morning, not that the world doesn't believe it. And I'm sorry to say that most of us, that many Yidden don't believe it, but it's the emes. We say every morning after Yishtavach, we say, "Hamachadish b'tuva b'chod yom tam and masa v'rishis." That the Rosh Hashanah is machadish us all the time. And what does all the time mean? Chazal says, "Kol haneshama tahalil ko haleluka." Chazal says, "Kol neshima v'neshima." That we don't exist because we exist automatically. It's not like somebody wound up the clock and put a battery in and the battery didn't die down and the clock is still wound up. No. We exist because Ribbono Shel Olam gives us life at every moment. Life is a new matana every moment. The neshama wants to go out, Ribbono Shel Olam sends it back in. And that's what happens to us all the time. I actually saw in the Shem Yishmuel, on the Makas Bechora, he says that what, how did the Mitzrayim die? When the Meshama wanted to go out, the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't send it back in; he just let it go out. He's always sending it back in. And this, they just let it go out, and it went out. Didn't send it back in. They died. Rosh Hashanah is giving us, is mechadash us at every moment. And being aware of that is crucial to transformation. Why? Because it means we're never the worried thought. We're never the daiga. We're never the troubled thought. We're never the negative thought. We're never that. That may be who we're focused on, but that's not who we are. We are the neshama that Rosh Hashanah gives us every moment, and every moment Rosh Hashanah gives us a new neshama, a new moment of life, and neshama shenasata b'tahorihi. It's a beautiful neshama. It's a sweet, delicate, positive neshama. It's smiling. It's like Ari, who's loving his father. This is the neshama. So the first thing we learn when we have a negative thought, we don't try to chase it away. We say, wait a minute. This negative thought is not us. It's not me. How do I know? Because Hashem, you're mechadash me at every moment. You're mechadash me at every moment. So I know that this thought is not me. It's something that's going through my mind. It's a piece of a nefesh thought, but it's not me. It's not the deeper me. Now, see, that's the first principle. That we're never trapped by our thoughts because Hashem is mechadash us at every moment. He's mechadash us at every moment, and therefore, we have a whole world open to us of different possibilities. Now, on the other hand, we have another problem. That why do I have these thoughts? Or why do I feel down? Or why do I feel worried? Frequently we'll see that who we are is a product of where we come from. It's a product of our upbringing. I came across an interesting pasuk in Tehillim this morning that David HaMelech in Kapitel Kuf Chav Tes, the first pasuk, says, Rabbas Tsraruni Minrurai Gam Lo Yochlidi. He says that I have a lot of troubles Minurai from my youth. I have a lot of things from my youth. Chazal said that no one suffered more than David HaMelech. And even though he had, but lo yochlu bi, they never really conquered me. No matter what I went through, they never conquered me. And we have another concept that we see in Kapitel Tzadik Dalet that we say on the Shir Shel Yom and Yom Revi, Pasuk Yud Tes, it says, which means that with the negative thoughts was inside of me. Sarapai means negative thoughts. The Alta of Kelm says that we take the negative thoughts and we change them to shashuin. That Ramosham gives us the negative thoughts. Ramosham gave David HaMelech his youth, the difficult youth that he grew up in. He gives us our negative experiences. He gives us the crisis that we've gone through. Nothing ever happens without the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we see, on the same time, we see that what we're facing is very great. What David HaMelech faced was very great. When a person says, a person who came in to see me was depressed, he says, listen, I know I'm depressed. My father was depressed. I grew up in a house with a depressed father. How can I be different? And he's right. But on the other hand, we're saying, you're never the bird. So how does he deal with that? How does he deal with a person, how's a person who's a worrier, how does he deal with his worry? So the next step, the next principle that we want to teach is the principle of Bechira, which means that the emotional knows why you're going through what you're going through. The emotional knows why the couple is fighting, why the caller is worried, why the mother is having a difficult time with the kids. The person knows that. He knows that because he put everyone who in their place. He gave them their life experiences. And in a sense, it seems from the outside world, it seems that everything is locked in. But there's one thing that Rosh Hashanah gives us a Pesach for. And that's, there is a Nekuda of Bechira in every moment. So what is that Nekuda of Bechira? That Nekuda of Bechira means that I'm in this situation, Rosh Hashanah, because you put me here. That you gave me the life experiences that give me these thoughts. That you put me through life in the way that I, in a sense, I had to be here. And it seems that there is no way out, but there is one way out. And the way out, which is the basis of Bechira, is to say, Hashem, I only have one window. I only have one door out. I only have one Pesach that's open to me. And that's to know that you put me here, and I'm putting myself in your loving hands. You only put me here because you love me, and you want me to be somebody that I need to become. And I trust that you put me here for the right reasons, for my own good. So Hashem, I don't know the answer, but I do know that there's a Pesach of Bechira. And that Pesach of Bechira is, I'm saying two things. First, you're mechadesh me at every moment, right? You gave me, I'm not stuck. And secondly, there is something I can do. There is a Pesach I can take to find the answer. And that is that you placed, that I'm placing myself in your loving hands. It's bitochon. That's Bechira. That's always open. That never closes. That door never closes. And at every moment we have, there's no such thing as a yid in the world who doesn't have that ability. To say, I'm placing myself in your loving hands. And when you do that, you're a different person. You've now transformed. You've now transcended. You are misgaber over the limitations of the guf. You are now a different bria when you say that. Still, you need to know where you're going. Which brings us to the third principle. The third principle of Mishkan. And I'll go over these again in a moment. But the third principle of Mishkan is, when I said Chiddush, I realized that even though I felt trapped, I'm not trapped. You mechadesh me at every moment, Rabban Shlomo. And when I demonstrated my ability that I still have Bechira, that I say, Rabban Shlomo, even though I feel trapped, I'm placing myself in your loving hands. Then I know that I now have created a Pesach. But still, I need to be able to access that thought that the glass really is half full and not half empty. Or that I really do love this child. Or that I really do remember that I like my chasm or my kala, right? Or I really know how to remember what the words of the Shmon Esrei mean. And I'm not caught up in my worries about other things while I'm davening. So the third principle is the principle of Mishkan. Now what's the principle of Mishkan? The principle of Mishkan is that we say that Ein hashroas hashchina b'mokam shel atzvos. The Shechina doesn't rest in a place of atzvos. Yesh hashroas hashchina b'mokam shel simcha shel nisvah. That the Shechina only resides in a place of the simple solution. Now, Shechina is that, the Mishkan is a place where the Shechina rests. Chazal and the Rambam in so many places tell us over and over again that while there was a Mishkan, the real Mishkan was supposed to have been the Moach of a person. The Moach of a person before the Mishkan was built was supposed to be the ultimate Mishkan. The Rebbe Shlom can have the Shechina could rest in each of us. The Mishkan itself, if we understand what it is the most beautiful place in the entire universe. The Reach Nechoach and the songs and the Kedusha and the beauty of the gold and the silver and the Tachshitim and the colors and the movements of the Kohanim and the machshavas are all work together to create the most beautiful place in the entire universe, and that's where the Ribono Shel Olam puts his Shechina. So the third principle now gives me a direction of where I want to go, who I want to be. And that is, I'm able to say, Ribono Shel Olam, and you want me to be a makom for Shechina. That's what you want. Now, why is it so important to remember that? Because once you realize that, so then the thought that you've been carrying around all of these years that became a part of you without even realizing it, now you're saying, oh, but this thought doesn't help me go there. I'm going to reject this thought. See, up until now, the thoughts of being worried or whatever it is, they become part of us. We don't even know they're there. They just become part of our wallpaper. So now we're going to say, no, this is not a thought that enables me to feel that I'm a makom for Shechina. I can't say that what the thought will be, but you'll find something very fascinating. Once you know what you don't want to feel or think, you're going to experience that which is so much more pleasant. A thought about myself, about yourself, about the child, the memory. It comes almost all. Why? Because you become a kli kibul for it. The Ribono Shel Olam gives it to you. Menucha comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. Menucha is an nefesh, is a matana from the Ribono Shel Olam. So the way it works like this, and this is something I want you to practice. It's very important to practice this. So once again, you can write this down. It's a good idea to write it down, these three principles. And I'll tell you how to practice it. The first principle is the principle of chiddush. You're machadish me at every moment. So I have a thought. I don't like that thought. I'm saying, Mavarshim, you're machadish me at every moment. But that thought really isn't me. I have within me a deeper self. A self of chiddush. On a shamish and a satavi tahorihi. Right? All you say is a few words. Mavarshim, you're machadish me at every moment. And now, once you've learned that you're not trapped, so now you can open the Pesach. You can say, Ribono Shel Olam, you put me here, and I'm placing my life in your loving hands. Because that's what you wanted the whole time. And that gives me a second level of bechira, a second level of freedom from that thought. The next principle is the principle of Mishkan. Hashem, you want me to be a makom for Shechina. Once you realize that, once you say those, and it takes, if you write them down, Hashem, you mechadish me at every moment. Hashem, I'm placing myself in your loving hands. Hashem, you want me to be a makom for Shechina. And if you practice this, if you write this down, it takes you about maybe 3, 4, 5 seconds to say. Not very long. I say it all the time. I can't begin to tell you how often I say it. When I'm with people, when I'm with different situations, continuously. And if you practice this, just take out this piece of paper, 3, 4, 5 times a day, just say it. Now, maybe 10 times a day, just say it. No one's going to know. It's like saying, you know, saying Telemachal, it's a couple of days in America, you're saying Telemachal Avrocha. You have to say it 90 times. You remember it then. But if you do it, now, you're going to find that if you do it every day for a few days, at some point you're going to have a negative thought. Now, the problem with negative thoughts is that we don't even know they're there. They just cut so much a part of our personalities. We don't even say go away because we feel that they're, you know, it's like home. But you're going to find if you do this, if you practice this, then you're going to have a negative thought. And you say, oh, there's that negative thought. Maybe it's a thought of being critical of somebody we care for. Some other negative thought. Maybe criticism about ourselves. Maybe we're self-critical. Maybe we have low self-esteem and we say these bad things about ourselves. Right? Or about the person we live with or our kids or whatever. Right? Or we're davening, right? And we see our minds are going up. And you do these three principles. Once you practice them, it's easy to do them. And you're going to find something remarkable. You're going to find that the moment you, the moment you say these three principles to yourself, you're going to find that you're transformed. You're going to find there's a different you. Sometimes you may, with some situations, you may have to repeat it twice, but usually not even that. So it may take you a few days to come to a situation where you'll see the thought and you realize that it's just the thought. And you're gonna grab it by the tail, you know, like you're gonna hold it. You're gonna say, "Hey, thought, wait a minute. Oh, don't run away. Don't. I'm not macabre with you. Rabbi Shalom, you're machadish me at every moment. Rabbi Shalom, I place my life in your loving hands. Rabbi Shalom, you want my mind to be a makom, you want me to be a makom for Shechina. And you're going to find that that thought, which has been a part of you, which you believe with be truth, is not the truth. If it's pizur and nefesh, it's not the truth. It goes away. It dissolves. It's like vapor. It's like smoke. It's quite a remarkable experience once you begin to do it. Okay, so I think that about wraps up our session for today. And next week, Bez Hashem, we will be discussing the second of the six gates of personal empowerment, which is called centering, a very important tool, which I probably the most important tool I've taught beyond the aside from the principles, and has wonderful applications, and there's some very interesting stories that I'm going to tell you about how it works and how it changes people's lives. So with that, I wish you a wonderful evening, and Bez Hashem, and I'm thinking in 2 weeks, Bez Hashem, this Hanukkah, which is a Tuesday night. So maybe with that, in 2 weeks, we'll have our program on Monday night. So this way, we won't share Hanukkah unless you feel that you want to do it. That's fine, because here it's still the day, but you'll be in touch with me. And I wish you all a very good week and haslacha in all your endeavors.